You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's talk to our man, the Idaho rail splitter. It is Dave Archer, who was calling a game last night with Wes Drewham. Arch, what did you think, man? Mixed bag? What did you like? What did you like last night?
Yeah, that was a mixed bag, Mike, and I think that you guys have hit it on the head pretty much this afternoon as you've broken the game down. I think that what tends to happen in these games is we tend to look at the entire game and then do some kind of analysis on the team. You can't do that. When you look at the team, you got to look at the team probably in that first half at the most, and then you begin to pick and choose guys in the second half that you want to evaluate or try to get some gauge as to how they're playing. I thought there was some pretty good line play, offensive line play, in the first half. There was a number of plays where Jake Matthews and Carpenter, James Carpenter, came off together and they got some really good double teams where they were able to work to the second level, which provided some running room. And whenever you watch the running game, you're looking, are we playing on the other team's line of scrimmage, other side of the line of scrimmage? So that was a really good push. Brian Hill had one carry. Wes and I were commenting in the game, you know, you thought that, okay, it was about a three-yard pickup. You looked up and it was 7 yards because they were getting such good push. Mack, Carpenter, Matthews, Lindstrom, they're getting such good push that you're playing on the other team's side of the line of scrimmage, and that's when you really start to dominate a game physically. But you got the same thing on the other side. I thought Matt Gono did some good things. Now, he had a couple of moments in pass protection, and I think you touched on it, Mike, where Montez Sweat, who's an outstanding player, got the best of him. But I think that he's a guy that can grow, that can be better. I think he's green, has not played a lot. He's a guy that certainly can get better. But he had a couple of moments where he and Lindstrom, or Lindstrom and Mack, came off together, double-teamed the guy that was in the three technique or the one technique, and then moved to the next level and blocked the linebacker. I had some really good movement in the run game, which was encouraging. I thought that's something that we're supposed to be getting better at. I mean, everybody thinks about pass protection. It's more about the run game and what the offensive line is going to do to contribute to the run game. Because last year, your quarterback threw for 5,000 yards and 35 touchdowns. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. So what can we do to complement that with a run game? And when we get Devontae and Ito on the field, can they get some running room? And I thought you started to see some signs of those type of things. So that was fun. And then the defensive line, being coached directly by Dan Quinn, you can see a difference. Don't you guys see a difference? I mean, it's unbelievable the way guys, the energy guys are playing with, whether it's Jack Crawford. Jack Crawford was a difference maker last night, especially in that goal line drive where he came in off the bench, spelled Deidre Sanat, made like three plays in a row. Tack and Vic were extremely active off the edge. Grady was active in those screen games. When you see D linemen running plays down from behind, Tuiati Mariner ran some plays down from behind, so did Grady Jarrett. That's active D-line play, and that's all stemming from the guy that's coaching them, and that's Dan Quinn. So I thought both lines of the scrimmage, certainly when you're talking about your main guys playing, the guys that are going to play against the Vikings were playing, I thought there was some really good strides made there.
It is Dave Archer, guys, analyst for our Atlanta Falcons, talking about last night's third preseason game, which you get a chance to see most of the starters, and I agree with you, Dave. You know, the first half, you look at the competition and what our guys were able to do, you feel pretty good, and I think that's what Dan Quinn was talking about. The one thing we do have to do to tighten up is special teams, and I know there are some guys that may or may not be here come week one, but these mistakes still are happening. What did Coach Quinn have to say about that, and what about the return game? Who's the leader in the clubhouse right now?
Well, probably the guy that didn't play last night, Carl. I mean, Kenyon Barter is probably the guy that, because of his experience, his ability to take care of the ball. I mean, number one thing you want to do, and we've talked about this a number of times, you and Mike have talked about it, got to catch the ball.
Right.
You know, that's the number one thing. If we catch the ball and it's right there, it's down right there, we know Matt Ryan's going to get the ball. We can't drop the football on the ground where the other team gets the ball in a short field opportunity to put points on the board and then takes a possession away from Matt Ryan. So you got to catch the football. So Kenyon Barner is probably the leader right now, even though he's been on the shelf because of an injury. I think these guys will continue to get opportunities. Olamide Zaccheaus did not return kicks at Virginia, so this is a whole new bag for him, trying to circle underneath the ball, and it's very difficult to return kicks. I was very disappointed in Marcus Green last night. I thought Marcus Green, it's a door that's open for him, to make some plays. He looks very comfortable in practice, but he looked a little bit crossed up last night when that ball hit him in the face mask or whatever it did, and the ball was on the ground. I really thought that he was going to be a difference maker. He has been disappointing in that regard. So the two young guys will get another opportunity, as Coach Quinn talked about, next week. But Kenyon Barner, because of, he catches the football, and remember, the guy that's kind of the standby guy is Greg Hardy. Justin Hardy. Justin Hardy's sitting in the wings waiting. He can catch the football. He's not going to drop the ball. And so that's the ultimate goal here. We'd like to get some plays out of it, but that's the ultimate goal. The one thing you can't forget, though, is as much as we want to frown on special teams, coverage units were outstanding last night. We had four tackles inside the 20 on kickoff coverage. That's outstanding. That's winning football. When you're making tackles on return guys inside the 20-yard line, you're winning on special teams. You're creating long field opportunities for their offense. So as much as we want to frown on what the special teams were, don't forget some of the things that were real positives. And the coverage units are extremely good right now. We got to catch the ball and punt return. And, of course, Delvecchio's got to find those big yellow things and kick it between them. If we can get that done, then I think we like what we're seeing on special teams.
It is Dave Archer with us, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline, brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, ESOG. You down with ESOG? Hey, man, we'll get to the Tavecchio situation in a second. How about the second-string defense and the goal line stand and a guy that we've said has got to get better if he wants to hold on to his gig? And I thought that Duke Riley made some plays.
Yeah, Duke Riley made a couple of really good plays on the goal line, Mike. There's no more exposed play for a linebacker than an I-formation ISO play, meaning you're blocking the big people on the line of scrimmage and the fullback is isolated on the linebacker one-on-one and you're stepping in the hole as a linebacker to try to seal it and take away that opportunity for the back. And Duke Riley did it as good as you could possibly see it. He completely shortened the neck of the tight end that was playing fullback on the play, J.P. Holtz, and then made the tackle. And then on the very next play, he was in another stuff play where they couldn't get in the end zone. Of course, a holding penalty moved him back off the goal line. Outstanding goal line performance. What shouldn't be lost in that is that Jack Crawford came in back in off the bench late in that drive and made three consecutive plays, penetration plays against the run game and a pressure play in the passing game that was huge for that defensive stand as well. It created some uncertainty for the offensive line. So, but Duke Riley, yeah, that was an opportunity for him to step up. He did a nice job. I talked to Duke after the game. I'm sure you guys have played some of that sound. There's a look in Duke's eyes. He understands that he's playing for his NFL life, or certainly his Atlanta Falcon life right now. And I thought he stood tall when he had an opportunity. Those are the opportunities that he hasn't had because he's been injured. Can't make the club in the tub. He was on the field this weekend, or certainly last night, and made some plays that certainly flashed the ability that we've all seen from Duke Riley. Just hadn't been consistent.
Has Jermaine Grace outplayed him?
He has, and part of it has to do, Carl, with the fact he's been on the field.
Yep.
But when he's been presented with the opportunities, he had an interception down in Miami. Last night he had a huge play where he dove in front, reading the eyes of the quarterback, dove, knocked the ball down with his left hand, a throw that was going to get into the receiver had he not made the play, and maybe goes into the end zone. Riley makes that play down in the red zone. So he's been extremely active. He's made a couple of mistakes. He's not a great cover guy, but he's done a nice job of filling. He's very quick to diagnose, and he's a sideline-to-sideline guy, which is kind of the description of what you want as a linebacker, certainly for the Atlanta Falcons.
Dave Archer with us, and obviously, unfortunately, the big story became Tavecchio. Got to make a 39-yarder. That's just, it's part of doing your job in the NFL. We're spoiled with Matt Bryant. That ship has sailed for obvious reasons. So do they bring in some competition these final 2 weeks? What happens?
Well, it's probably something that's heavy on the mind of Coach Quinn and certainly Thomas Dimitroff, and it would not surprise me if there's already been some people in to kick the ball because he's been given the opportunity. Now, let's keep in perspective, his kicks have been long variety. Now, we're so used to Matt Bryant knocking those through that you're kind of saying, well, why didn't you make the 52-yarder? Why didn't you make the 54-yarder? And those are long kicks, and the mere mortal kicking doesn't make those. And he has shown that he has missed those. So, but when you miss a 39-yarder on that opening drive after going for it on fourth down and getting yourself in position, you got to put points on the board there. That's one he's got to knock through. And so I would assume that the concern certainly is at a decent level right now to where they're probably beginning to think, okay, what do we need to do? Is Matt Bryan another option? Do we bring him back in? Do you find somebody else? Because Matt Bryant comes in at a premium. That's a lot of money that you bring in. But again, you start talking about 10-6, 9-7, 8-8. What gets you in the playoffs? And Right. Maybe it's a kick or two. You need to have that guy that's going to knock it through.
Yeah. And Arch, I said this, and I think, you know, I want your opinion on this. Why didn't they bring in a kicker for competition when camp started?
He was so good last year, Carl, that I think that they kind of, it was a foregone conclusion. I mean, remember, Matt was, he had hurt himself kicking the ball. He'd been hurt a number of times throughout the year where Delvecchio was kind of that stopgap guy or the ace in the hole. Remember, he comes in off the bench and kicked the 250-yarders. In fact, he was our player of the game on the Falcon Radio Network one week, kicked 250-yarders, including the game winner. And then whatever opportunities he had, he performed extremely well. So I think they felt like this was the heir apparent, that this guy had set himself in position. He'd proven under fire that he could get it done. And they didn't really feel like they needed any competition with the guy. So, and it just hasn't worked out for him. Now, I'm not saying he can't get it done, and I think they still have confidence in him. He's got a big leg. The guy can kick it. Just hasn't been able to knock it through. But at some point, you got to put up or shut up. You got to go get a guy that can get it done.
Exactly, big guy. I mean, I thought, you know, the preseason, I mean, aside from the losing streak, which doesn't mean anything, but it is kind of weird to lose 12 preseason games in a row.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
But Dan, you know, calling the defense, I think you can see the energy. We've seen the energy at practice, the difference with the defense. Just a matter now of this offensive line coming together. But what do you think will we see Sombrello next week? What will we see? Because obviously it's more about rookies making the 53-man cut.
Yeah, it's a weird scenario, Mike, and you guys have been talking about it. It's a good point. I mean, Sobrello, obviously they want him ready or available for the opening day game. Is he, in fact, the guy that will start at that tackle position? Does Gono get another opportunities? And if Gono looks good again this week, does he have an opportunity to maybe open as your right tackle? I don't know how severe the injury is with Sobrello. It seemed like it was a shoulder sprain. Mm. That was all. I think that's all we heard, or an elbow sprain. He fell on it kind of weird in that game 2 weeks ago, or a week ago. And so I don't know how severe it is, but he has not had a good camp. You guys have documented it. We've watched him in practice. We've watched him in the games. He struggled, so his confidence level can't be very high. I can't tell you. I wish I had an answer for you whether Gono actually plays next week or whether they have him ready physically, because you're kind of worried, right? I mean,
right.
If you play him next week and he gets hurt again, now you got Gono and you got Wetzel, and Wetzel whiffed on a couple of guys last night, so you're not overly excited about that scenario either. So you almost have to make sure that you have Gono and Sobrello ready to play week one, and you may not want to risk Sobrello in the last preseason game.
Arch, great job, my man. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you next week as we get closer to the regular season.
Okay, guys. Good talking to you. Take care.
You too, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.